grave. And all you can do is laugh at her. Doesn't anybody know how to pray?
Take me on, you must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Pain and it has taught me how to stand and fight for what I believe in. I guess that's just how I was raised.
For the Lord and the law and the working man. And we could use a little peace and satisfaction. So good people up front.
You can't take me. I'm free.
Our houses are protected by the good Lord and a gun. You might meet them both if you show up here, not welcome, son. Our necks are burnt, our roads are dirt, and our trucks ain't clean. The dogs run loose, we smoke, we chew, and fry everything out here. Way out.
There'll be a party come this November where we're gonna set things free. Good people gonna gather round, gonna show what made this country great. We'll run off the schemers and backroom dealers, so the red, white, and blue will prevail when we're holding a hammer. When we're holding a hammer. When we're holding a hammer. Every one of them looks like a nail.
And it's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are
all right, if I've clicked all the right buttons and everything here, you should be hearing my voice for the first time in a while. Hope everybody had a good holiday period here. Let me check and see what... I know you was getting music for sound, but are you getting me for sound? Let's see, and we're waiting. 3, 2, 1, 1/2, quarter of one. And, okay guys, you getting sound or not? I don't want to, all right, Indiana Bones is with us. How are you doing, brother? Long time no see. For those of you that don't remember Indiana Bones, he was with us way, way back and was very frequent when me and Bobby and John were all together here doing this. And Indiana Bones is the one that set up one night late and helped me get my sound card all working and everything when we were having a lot of trouble. And I didn't know what in the world I was doing. And Indiana Bones sat on the phone with me for quite a while and got me all squared away. And we've come a long way since then. That was back in 2010, maybe mid-2011, somewhere in there. Long time ago. So I'm glad you made it in here anyway. So here's been quite a few things going on since the last time we talked. And we didn't do anything at all for New Year's. We stayed up. We only stayed up till midnight because I always stay up till midnight, just about. And didn't turn the TV on, didn't turn the radio on, didn't turn nothing on. Didn't care what anybody else did. Just another day. But we have had some. We haven't gotten a good snow here since 2012, the year after we got here. It was it snowed hard on Easter Sunday that they canceled church. They had about 2 feet on Easter Sunday. And that was the last real good snow that we had around here. But we've made up for it now. Boy, have we made up for it. And we're going to continue to make up for it this weekend. We've got about a full day of nothing but snow. I don't know how much it's going to snow, but there's a pretty good percentage, and it's going to last for a long time. So altogether, we've gotten over 20 inches here at the house. And woke up one morning, there was about 7 inches there, and then said, well, probably not going to get a whole lot more. Got up the next day and got a whole lot more. So that was okay. We decided to take New Year's Day off. We didn't do anything, go anywhere, watch movies, played on a computer, you know, did too much snow outside. So today I decide I'm going to go into work, go into town, do some stuff. And I thought I had a little trailer hooked up to my pickup, and I thought I'd just be able to back it straight out and be on my way. And yes, it's four-wheel drive, and yes, I know how to drive in the snow. But the driveway is flat where the car is set, but then there's a little angle to it. It's slightly uphill, and then there's an angle the other direction off to my left as I'm sitting in the truck. And as soon as it untracked and started heading back that way, that trailer just took off downhill, pulled back into the truck around, thought I was going to hit one of our other cars. And so I had no choice at that point, no way in the world to pull out straight. So I very carefully and very skillfully and expertly backed it up till to a certain point. And then there's about a 90 degree turn, which I couldn't see where it was at because of the snow. And we're backing through 20 inches of snow. Anyway, wound up getting stuck, sliding off the side of the road there. Called a friend of mine. He come over here with his pickup. And got a hold of it, and we did manage to move it enough that I was able to pull it out of that particular spot. And that's when all the fun started. We got it pulled out of there and said, well, if we're going to pull it out here, let's just go ahead and go hard with it and go right back up the driveway and around that way. Well, that didn't work. So we got stuck on the right up here in front of the house. We had to back it down there again, backed it down there and unhooked the trailer and got it straightened out and was going to head out there. And for some reason I couldn't figure out, there was too much snow. We had no idea what had happened. started to pull out, and it just, well, no. Back up, as you were. We weren't having any luck getting it to go. I got it back up on the road, and then it just would not go. Dead in the water, wouldn't do anything. Tires were spinning, four-wheel drive was in, everything was working, wouldn't do a thing. And I said, well, I'm going to show you how to put chains on here. Now, this is one of those things that ordinarily it's really nice for the truck to be able to move to put chains on. But if you can't do it, then you have to do it another way. So, got chains on. Now, let me back up a little bit. That happened when we unhooked the trailer. I couldn't get away from the trailer because we were sliding into a fence. So, there's no way to, he tried to hook on to me with his truck, pull the back end run, get away from the fence. And that didn't work. He got stuck. So I said, well, I didn't want to have to do this. And I hate to do it this way, but we're going to have to put chains on. So got my chains out and put them on while it was, for those of you that have never put chains on, or even if you have, if you haven't been able to put them on while the truck was already stuck and not able to drive, you drape the chain over the top of the tire with your quick links on the inside. Only bad thing about this, you kind of have to crawl on down on your belly and get under there and hook the quick link together. And then grab both ends that are on the outside and kind of saw it back and forth and pull it good and hard until you can get that link latched like you're supposed to. And that'll usually work, at least get you out of a hole. So we got the chains on both sides, pulled it up on the road, got stuck again. I said, what the hell? How do you get stuck? I want a four-wheel drive with chains on the front. That's not supposed to happen. I just got through telling him. I said, it's not very often you have to put chains on both axles on four-wheel drive. Once in a while, you get back in the backwoods, but not too often. And it wouldn't move. We couldn't figure out why. I looked underneath the truck, didn't see anything but snow. And it just wouldn't move. I said, damn, this is slicker than I thought. So went and found another pair of chains and put them on the back. They were too short. So we crawled under there and hooked the quick link on the inside. And then I sawed them back and forth, pulled them as close as I could, and then went and got a roll of tie wire out of the toolbox, a pair of pliers, and put about, I don't know, it took about 6 feet and folded in there where there was, you know, four or six layers of this, four or six strands. Took the two ends together, tied them together, pulled it up tight with pliers, and that was our latch. Had to do that to both sides. I said, okay, well, that ought to do it. And the damn thing still wouldn't move. We were digging holes in the dirt, and it wouldn't move. Well, it had, we kind of wallowed it back and forth a little bit, and he got under there and looked again, and move some of the snow, and I'll be damned. I don't know where this thing came from, but there's a block of wood, a round of firewood. I have no idea where it came from. It was in the snow somewhere, and it run over it. And it was high-centered on that piece of wood. I said, well, that's just dandy. Here we are chained up all the way around in 2 foot of snow, and the truck sitting on a piece of wood. So I walked back up to the garage, found a little hydraulic jack, dug out under there and set a couple pieces of wood under it, jacked it up on the from the frame, and picked it up enough we could get that piece of wood out of there. Of course, then we got all that out and it just drove right out like I had good sense. So I drove it around, got it back up to the house. By that time, we were ready for lunch. So we had a bowl of probably the best soup that you ever had in your entire life, but that helped a lot. And anyway, that was by that time I'd lost my desire to go to town, and I just said to hell with it and went back in the house. So that's what's been happening around Casa de Cope for the last all day long. But another thing we had today, and I put some pictures on Facebook for those of you that follow me on Facebook, we had Matter of fact, the last picture I haven't put on there yet, we had a cow elk come up here, maybe 50 feet from the kitchen window, and then got right up against the fence, hopped over the garden fence, and was trying to find some, some dried stuff sticking out of the ground to eat. Because when there's 2 feet of snow, they kind of have to work a little bit. And then a little bull came up right after him. And we'd taken pictures and videos and stuff. And then they left. And just before dark, four more of them came back. And one of them had hopped into the horse's pen, was after the hay. So I had to scare them off completely. But I'll put some more pictures of that on Facebook later. Anyway, that's what's been going on here. So let's look at some of the news items here. There are a lot of things going on, and let's start with the funniest one today. There was this was at a McDonald's. It was in Florida, and this guy, he was drunk, wanted a straw. And some of us mad because he didn't get a straw or something. He reached across the counter and grabbed one of the employees at work, a little black gal about a foot shorter than him. And, buddy, she wasn't having none of it. That girl was nothing but mean. She didn't have any skill in her fighting. You know, she was just mean. She grabbed him by the shirt, yanked his ass over that counter, and went to pounding on his head. And just wiping the counter up with his lips and just went off. She wasn't going to have none of him touching her at all. And they finally got him broke up. Cops come and arrested him, and she didn't get charged with anything. And apparently, I guess she still got her job. But thought that was pretty amusing. So in no particular order, let's take some other ones here. Another happy story here, at least with a happy ending. There was a couple of robbers down in Houston decided they were going to take this gal's purse, and her husband was vehemently opposed to that. And they pulled out their guns, and he pulled out his, and he shot both of them. He didn't get shot. She didn't get shot. But both the bad guys got shot, and they took off in the car, wrecked it on down the road a little ways, and got out. One of them went to a fire station, took himself to the fire station, and where he collapsed when he got there, and I guess he was treated and released. But they said he was treated, doesn't say he's released. And of course, if he was released, he was released into custody. His partner still remains at large, but he is walking around with a bullet in him, at least one bullet in him somewhere. So I thought that was, and we've had this discussion quite a bit over this last few days that we've been off here, been around, you know, different types of people and seen some different things where, you know, some of these people are just not, they just can't get on that wavelength. They just don't understand And I don't know any other way to put it. You've all heard me say, you know, 1,000 times, it's like, you know, wearing a helmet, wearing your seatbelt, getting insurance, blah, 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 all this stuff. You're probably not going to need it. But if you do, you're going to need it real bad. Well, we just can't convince some people of that. And it don't matter what you do or what you say or what kind of evidence you present to them, it just ain't working. And this was another one of those times when, there's just no, to have that gun loaded on your person and know how to use it. Obviously, this guy had at least some kind of a basic idea of which end the bullet came out of, because he managed to shoot both bad guys. So he's shot it a little bit. And we just can't seem to get some people to subscribe to that theory.
But anyway, some of them eventually may come around and some of them won't. One of them things, I guess. Apparently no charges against the guy protecting his wife. Now, this one is not a happy story. I hate stories like this. This one is particularly bad. Reminds me of another one from what we reported on some time ago, actually back when I was still on AM radio. The only reason it reminds me of it is because both of the kids were 4 years old. But here is an Iraqi war vet. Hadn't been home too awful long. And him and his four-year-old son had gone to, this guy was a Special Forces guy and whole nine yards. Him and his son went to a friend's house. The friend lived alone. Apparently felt that he had no reason to keep his gun secured or anything because nobody else was there besides him. And as soon as they got there, that four-year-old found that gun and was messing with it. Excuse me. He'd ask a question about it and then pulled the trigger. Shot his dad, and the dad died in the hospital a little while later. And so the kid's been with his mother since the day the shooting happened. There's some things to be learned here. In particular, your gun needs to be secure. I don't care if you live alone. If you live alone and you think it's prudent for you to have a gun laying out on the kitchen table or somewhere, then why don't you have it on you? If you believe that you need that loaded gun out like that, what makes you believe that if you're not in the bathroom on the other side of the house, or you go to the garage, or you go to another bedroom, or you're sitting in the living room and the gun's in another room laying on the table or on the nightstand in the bedroom, then you're not thinking the thing through. If you think you need it, why isn't it on you? If it's not on you, why isn't it secured somewhere? Doesn't necessarily have to be locked in a safe when you live by yourself, but if you don't feel like you need it, then unload it and put it in a cabinet or something somewhere. I guess you could blame both of the men. The man that left his gun unsecured, laying out, and the father for not keeping better track of his son and not educating him in the ways of the gun, or the safety of it anyway. Now, he's 4 years old. Who teaches their gun to, who teaches their kid that stuff at four? Well, everybody should. My kids started at three. And I told you by the time they were six, they could outshoot majority of the adults that I know. So at 4 years old, he should have known very well, thou shalt not touch at that point. But apparently it didn't work out that way. So, the damn kid's going to be, at 4 years old, he probably understands what he did. I'm certainly not going to blame him at all for growing up hating guns. You know, if that happened at that young age, you know, he's going to have this memory for his entire life without some serious counseling and some gun people that know what they're doing, you know, to get him back on track. But, he may never touch another gun. So I really, really don't understand why people do that. No charges were filed against anybody. He said that it was an accident. It was an accident. I understand that. But it was 100% avoidable, just like most gun accidents are. they're 100% avoidable. Just with a minimal amount of education and training, this would have not happened. So let's see if we can take a little break here and go. Let me go find something here that needs to be. There we go. There's something right there. How about let's just do this? All right, I'll be back in a minute. Stay with
me. Allahu Akbar, Allah.
All right, like that, Haji.
Welcome to Doc's Freedom Files.
Freedom. Keep walking. Keep on your toes and don't stop talking about freedom.
There are many different types of families. There was the Charles Manson family. There are crime families, royal families, nuclear families, non-traditional families, television families, and on and on and on. Generally, though, it can be said that the word family is seen in a positive light. This explains why, in recent years, various national government figures have taken to calling the federal government the federal family. This attempt at rebranding is in response to the increasingly negative perception of the words federal government. From the perspective of the hard-done-by U.S. citizen, this federal crew can look like a pretty dysfunctional family. In truth, seen through the right kind of prisms, the federal family looks more and more like a true crime family with each passing day. Of late, we've had the forged Obama birth certificate scandal, the presidential election vote counting scandal, the Justice Department's Gunwalker scandal, the IRS's illegal political targeting scandal, and this takes us to the case of National Security Agency whistleblower Edward Snowden. Snowden, an NSA contractor, finally confirmed what many of us had long suspected. The NSA unconstitutionally records every phone call and electronic transmission made by every American. Now debate rages as to whether Snowden is a hero or a traitor, though he personally eschews the term hero, stating that he's just an American citizen. I disagree with Mr. Snowden and suggest that he's far more of a hero than he may believe. I also suggest that the public had better consider him a hero too. You see, there is a strangely reliable dynamic in the history of human affairs. When heroes are not supported and seen as such by the bulk of the public, additional heroes tend to be in short supply when they're needed most. Using the federal family metaphor, I think it can very fairly be said that Cousin Edward Snowden didn't betray you and I. Uncle Sam did. This is Doc Toops wishing you life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming?
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain,
for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee,
across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea,
from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A.
Well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, God bless America.
Shining sea.
being American, or at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me.
And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled
back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country.
That ain't country.
Yeah, we country.
All right, and we're back. I guess it'd be a good time to jump in here and tell you that again. Remind you that we're going to have a Southwest Shooting Authority of Colorado opening up here before too long. We've got some things to finish up here. Waiting on some documentation. Having a hard time getting it here, but anyway. So they'll be up in Colorado Springs. There'll be a branch, I guess you want to call it, of Southwest Shooting Authority, doing some of the beginning classes, and that will increase, eventually get back to the full range of everything that we do. So looking forward to that, and looking forward to going up there and helping and getting this ball rolling here. All right, let's get over here. Hold on a minute. My clicking finger outrun my eyes here. Let's see. All right. Yeah, AZ Bound has been really getting with the stuff. They're working now on ham license, and I encourage all of you to get in there and play with those radios. We've talked about this many times, so I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, but you know that I set up the emergency communications network around here, and we have weekly nets, weekly check-ins to make sure everybody's equipment is working. Just a quick thing, doesn't take very long. This next Sunday we're doing it a little bit different. We tried this once before, and I wouldn't say it was a miserable failure, but it didn't go exactly the way I wanted it to go. We've got a better, a more organized way to do it. What I did was I took and made a map. Actually, I took a picture of a map of the local area, and I marked everybody's approximate position on this map, everybody that's a member of the Emergency Communications Network. I didn't put their address or any, their exact location. But it's real close. So, and that was the first thing that I did. And that was the first map that I set out, and just so they could see where everybody was, when we're talking. And the this next time, let me back up to the first. I said, okay, what I want you to do, this training event that we had last time. I said, here's what I want you to do. And I started the first guy out. I tasked him with starting. I said, I want you to, and I gave him a message. And I said, I want this message relayed all the way across over there to where this certain guy lives, the one that lived farthest out of town. And this message needs to bounce around, you know, until you can get there, not using the repeater. So we have a frequency that goes through a repeater, which means everybody can hear everybody, and a simplex frequency that means it goes from antenna to antenna, radio to radio, and a lot of people cannot hear because of mountains and distance and all that, so it, everything has to be relayed a little bit. So I made this map, and I said, okay, and I drew lines from the starting place to where it's going to end. And I said, here's how I want you to do it. I said, I want everybody involved. Everybody's going to know to contact everybody. This is going to be like a phone tree. So I'm going to start it. And hold on 1 second here. Stand by just a minute. All right, I'm back. I said, I'm going to start it, and I'm going to reach about three people that are the farthest away that nobody else can reach but me. And I'm going to get it started that way and relay the message to them. And then I'm going to call one that's a little closer to me, and she's going to call another guy, and he can't call from where he's at, so it'll have to come back to her, and she'll call the ones closer to me, and blah, blah, blah. And this thing works out to where every single person that's involved in this will have the opportunity to answer. However, sometimes because of work and holidays and families and winter and whatnot, people may not be home. So we've had to create a a substitute map there to jump those that don't answer. So this is going to be, and I made them very, very detailed, and it sounds a little confusing if you don't know what you're looking at, but if you go through and read the whole thing and then come back and only read the part that pertains to you, your number and the one that's calling you and the one that you're supposed to call, and that's it. Don't pay attention to the rest of it. So this one's much more organized and everything, and they've got the map, and they've got a written, you know, an email that's all typed out and very intricate and detailed, so they shouldn't have any problem doing that. And so we're really looking forward to doing that, and that'll be this coming Sunday. And if we have any breakdowns, we're going to have one breakdown, I know, and it's going to have to come back to me, and I'm going to have to be the what would you call it, the stopgap there or whatever, where I'm you know, I've got the biggest radio with a bunch, and I'm the highest up on a hill, so I'm going to have to if we lose our continuity at this one place, then I'm going to have to jump that gap and get it started again. But we'll see how it works, and we'll keep trying it until we get a perfect system worked out, able to get along without some of the people that may be absent. And this will all be on simplex, as I said, no repeater. So that ought to be fun. The Indiana Bones, it sounds like you've got the same thing that many of the rest of us have, either a UV5R or a UV82 or something like that, 2 meter and a 70 centimeter handheld. You can program those where you can talk on a lot of frequencies that are not ham. You can't do it legally, but you can talk on them and probably be plenty safe. But I still encourage everybody to get their permit so that you can actually learn how to operate that thing in emergency situations, how to use your repeaters, and learn who other hams are in your area for emergency purposes, poop hit the fan purposes, so that you don't start out just all you know, cold right off the bat when something like that happens. So it's, I think it's a good thing that you go ahead and get that done, but that's up to you. All right, let's look and see here where we're at. Here's the world's first. Ah, yes. You know, the country, the world, not just the country, but the whole world, is falling apart. I think everybody pretty well agree with that here. And here's the world's first lesbian bishop. Somehow those two words just don't seem to go together well in a sentence. But calls for the church, to remove crosses and to install Muslim prayer space. The Bishop of Stockholm has proposed a church in her diocese remove all signs of the cross and put down markings showing the direction of to Mecca for the benefit of Muslim worshipers. You know, that's not okay with me, but okay. It's like so many other things, I guess, if they didn't ask me before they did this, and they damn sure should have. But anyway. And here's another one. I talk about the world falling apart. Here's a lawmaker in Montana. With everything else that we have to worry about right now, immigration and the wall and the diseases that are coming with them and so many serious things going on in the country. And this guy wants to propose a state rock and roll song. The story is about 4 days old, 4 or 5 days old. He's out of Helena, Montana. Montana already has a state song, and they have a state ballad, and they have a state lullaby. But this Democrat, Jacob Bachmeier, out of Hammer, Montana, would like to see the 2019 legislature declare the Hippie Hippie Shake as Montana's official rock and roll song. Are you kidding me? Is that's the most important thing that we have to worry about right now? If you want to do that, and don't know why I can't get my throat cleared here. Probably because I've been crawling around out in the snow all day long. But there you have it. That's what's most important to this particular lawmaker here is that we have a state rock and roll song in the state of Montana. I swear, I don't know what's going on. The AZ Bound, I agree. I don't know how. I don't know how this queer bishop thing works, but anyway. Guess that's their thing. They'll figure it out. There's a, where was this at? Eureka, California. Big women's march planned there. And this march, you may have seen it already, had been postponed for fear that participants are not diverse enough. Actually, what they mean is there's too many white people in this march. Too many white women. They pulled the plug on this thing, pushing for an event that really, they say, represents all members of the community. So they close this thing down because some of the minorities don't want to participate, or maybe there's not as many minorities there as they think there are. I mean, so the people that showed up, they should be able to do their thing, whatever it is that they're doing. And the whole thing has nothing to do with race. It's a feminist type thing. The Eureka Women's March. But they've made it about race because they look around and say, oh my, there is way too much whiteness going on here. We're just going to have to call this thing off. It is, we can't be having this. What would people say? It says, throughout history, women of color have been proven over and over again to be some of the most vulnerable populations. Of the most vulnerable populations. From the suffering of enslaved black women in the early gynecological experiments to the current epidemic of missing and murdered indigenous women across the nation and beyond. Having their voices go unheard can be a matter of life and death, and it's imperative that a safe community is created for everyone. So why does this have to be, why do the minorities have to be the ones, why can't this is about women. Why can't the women that show up say the same thing for the ones that that didn't make it? Don't really get the whole thing there. Let's see. Yep, the world is falling apart. As of day before yesterday, they got news out of Victoria. This is Victoria, Australia, I think, or New Zealand or somewhere. Yeah, Australia. The Victoria police there have told citizens not to fight back against African gangs. I guess I'll just leave that right there for you. I don't get that at all. That's not okay. That is not okay. They've got... it's not just African gangs. I mean, there's a number of minority gangs there that are rapidly becoming not the minority. As a matter of fact, all of them together, if you put them all together as one, they are definitely not the minority. There are a bunch of minorities there that actually make up the majority. That's how bad it's getting. And I wonder if the government in various places over there have decided yet that it's not a good thing to allow all these immigrants, as they call them, invaders is what the rest of us would call them. This is getting so out of hand. And speaking of immigrants and invaders and everything, you remember the law enforcement officer, the cop who got shot here a week or so ago? Well, the sheriff over in, was in California, Newman, no, he's 33, California, it says California. Anyway, wherever it was the sheriff, I can give you the county, it was Stanislaus County. The sheriff there said that the guy that murdered the cop's name was Ronil Singh or Sins or something like that. The sheriff says it would have been prevented if not for California's sanctuary state law that shields criminal illegal aliens from deportation. I'd like to say something about that. I just don't know what the hell to say. It defies common sense. It defies just any degree of intelligence at all. I swear I just don't get it. Do not understand that a little bit. California has always been the brunt of a lot of jokes, particularly here on the shooting bench. And they've been rightfully, they're well deserved for the way the government's run and everything that goes on over there. But it's got to a point now where I don't think it's not funny anymore. California's going to fall. It's going to fall completely before long. And I think that Jerry Brown may have gotten a little bit of a wake-up call there when half his state burned up here a month or two ago with the Paradise Fire and all those other fires down there. He may have realized that there's a lot of people not very happy with him. And Trump said, I think it was today or in the last day or two here, that they plan to counter some of this stuff with more logging. And that is a wonderful thing to hear him say. And I hope it works. I hope that nobody fights him over it. Well, they will, but I hope he sticks by his guns there and does exactly what he says he's going to do. Indiana Bones, you're right. It is because they don't have guns. But it is because they don't have guns over there. But we have guns. And the same thing's happening here. It's just a little slower. We're not standing down there on the border scaring them away with our guns. We haven't shot anybody. We haven't been in any fights where we've proved that we are, that we're the red, white, and blue, and we're going to stop you from coming here. None of that's ever happened. None of it's ever going to happen. It's just not. As long as people can still eat, as long as they can still go down to the ATM and get a little cash out, as long as Starbucks is open and everybody's working and everything, as long as that happened, it is the key to this. Nobody's going to do anything. They're not going to do anything when they take away our guns. We've proven that over and over and over. Since 1934 or even before that. We've proven that nobody's going to do anything. They have gotten to the point, these red flag laws, and they've already gotten to a point where they're confiscating some people's guns. Is anybody getting shot over it? Well, actually, one guy did here in Maryland two or three months ago. But nobody come to his aid. Nobody went and helped. Everybody just sits around and says, oh, that's a terrible thing. You know, when they come take mine, somebody's going to die. That's what they all say. Well, somebody does. It's usually you, and you die alone, and nobody's going to help you. And it's the way it's going to be. Now, the first time people go down to the ATM and go to get money and they're not working, the first time in food stamps are not fulfilled and not honored, when the banks close and something like that, then we'll probably see some action. We'll probably see some people that will definitely be willing to step out there and take one for the team. And there'll be people following. There'll be mobs, riots, but not over such thing as rights. Not for taking your guns, not for any of your constitutional rights. It won't be for that. It'll be over money. Be over money and empty bellies. When people get hungry, get thirsty, lights go out, and the ATMs are not working, then we're going to start seeing something happen. Until then, it's all talk. It has been talk over and over, time and time again. And I don't really expect that to change anytime soon. So, let's see here. Hang on, that's not working. There you go. Now it's working. All right. Liberty Lounge will absolutely be happening unless it snows another 4 feet here and we happen to be away from the house and I can't get back and get things going here. But other than something extremely dramatic, Liberty Lounge will be taking place. Indiana Bones, I hope you'll join us for Liberty Lounge tonight. I don't know if you've ever been with us for Liberty Lounge or not. We started that back in 2013 or 14, and it's been very popular. It's turned into a regular thing here. It's a lot of fun. All right. Well, with all that being said, I think I'm going to ease on towards the door over here and make sure everything's taken in. It's going to be pretty cold tonight. It's been down in the single digits the last couple of nights. And Indiana Bones, I just heard about the Glock Model 45, 9mm. I don't know anything about it. It's single stack is all I know. And I think it'll sell well. I don't want one. I'm very happy with my double stack Glocks, and because they're compatible and a lot of parts interchangeable and everything with many of my other Glocks. I don't have any problem concealing, you know, I wouldn't mind having one, I guess, just to have, but I'm not going to put myself out to go get one. I don't really have a big desire to get one, but I'm sure it's as good as any of the rest of them. It's a 10-shot gun, from what I understand, a 10-shot single stack, but I can use a 10-shot Glock 26 and put a 17 round magazine in it if I want to. And the model 45 9mm, I guess I'll have to look into that. Thanks, Dan. I guess I'll have to look into that. Maybe I don't know as much about it as I thought I did. I was reading about two Glock single stack 9mm today. Maybe one of them was not a 45. But I will double check on that and see what I can find out. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit Friday before the music starts. Yeah, I know, Nan. I saw you. Brr, 39 degrees. Oh, please. It was when it was 39 there, it was 7 here. That's brr. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to scoot on out of here. You guys have a great, have a great weekend. No, have a great Thursday. And we'll be back Friday with Liberty Lounge. And thank you very much for joining me. Good night.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.